Well, we're going to be continuing in our series, which really looks at spiritual laws that God's has instituted. And it's a bit of an ongoing series. We like these every now and then, but really sense this is a really good teaching series to help us to align ourselves with some biblical principles. And we've got different people will be speaking over the next few months on different things which are either close to their heart, or maybe they've got some experience to teach on as well. So we don't just hope you find these useful. We're really praying that there'll be, like in all our lives, a bit of recalibration and in our alignment to doing God's things God's ways. So actually, we live life better. Now, I would say, I don't know what your experience of people's views of God, but we speak of God being a God who is good and wants us to thrive, but I would say that's not an assertion that Joe Public, everyone would agree with. I would say that often people put God in the dock and accuse him of being unkind, unjust, unfair, and things like that. And but the Bible, if people choose to read it, is full of text, of material, which would actually counter that lie. And Deuteronomy 28 is a classic example, really, of in which God presents the Israelites on this occasion with two ways, really, of living. Either his way or their way. It's really quite simple. The first way, really, is obedience to his laws. And that is one of life, health, and prosperity. Okay, that's the first way. The second way is one of disobedience to his laws, and that's one of death, decay, and destruction. Now, as if, I always find this quite amusing, but as if the Israelites needed some help in making the decision, God actually gives them a really helpful heads-up tip. And it actually says it in the Bible, and he says, choose life. Now, if you read the pros and cons of this, you would not need to actually have that helpful bit of advice. And yet God says to the Israelites, choose life. Now, why am I saying that by way of introduction to what we're going to be talking about today? Because this passage, I would say, illustrates two spiritual principles. And they are these. The first is that God's laws are designed for our well-being. And secondly, that obeying these laws positions us to be recipients of this well-being. I'll say that again. The first thing is that God's laws are designed for our well-being. Often the word law and well-being aren't always synonymous in people's thinking this is good, but this is the way with God. And secondly, that obeying these laws positions us to be recipients of this well-being. And really, this is just to reiterate really what has been said in previous teachings in this series, really, that not only has God has created the natural realm with laws and principles to govern it, but he's also created a spiritual realm in the same way. God is a good God, and this is evidenced in these spiritual laws, which have the aim of making our lives work, which is why we are reminding ourselves what they are so that our lives work. The spiritual principle or law which I want to look at this morning is that of words, or more to the point, the power of words. That's what we're going to be looking at today. If you've been part of this church for any length of time and connected us in any way, shape or form, you'll be well aware this is something we've taught on. We sometimes talk about speaking life, but it's something that we've talked about. And really what I want to do today is, the hope is that I want to upgrade that operation in our lives. Okay, we maybe know something, but I want us to upgrade the operation of the power of words, and I'll explain some more in a moment, in our lives. Let's throw some scripture out to make this biblical and legal. Proverbs 18:21 says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. I'll read it again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. We often speak of the authority that Christians have, but I believe actually there's a level of authority that, that all people have because we're made in the image of God, and who then transferred his authority to humanity. Now, I recognise at the fall of man at the Garden of Eden, mankind handed over the overall authority for the governance of the earth to Satan. I understand that. But I would say that also there is a level of personal autonomy that God has given us to actually influence our lives and the lives of other people still, positively or negatively, to do good or harm, to bless or curse. That's really evidenced in the way we see the outside as well. So in the same way that God brought into being the created order by words, if you know anything about Genesis, in the words that he spoke, so you and I have power and authority to release both good and bad from our mouths with the expectation that it will bring life or death. That is just the way we're wired. So we have a level of authority, whether we know Christ or not, in this world, because we're made in the image of God who transferred authority to mankind. And I say, we see this outworked so often, actually. Let me give you an example, anyway, about the power of words. Who agrees with this age-old saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Yeah. Quite ridiculous, isn't it? Quite a ridiculous saying. I have no idea what the root of that is. It's actually nonsense. Most of us will know that words can wound. Why else would that expression about having a thick skin be necessary? Actually, I would say even people with the thickest skin are basically, they're not immune from the most toxic of vitriol as well. I know that words can heal. So that's actually a ridiculous saying. And I don't think it lines at all with the Bible at all. And I'm just going to share a couple of practical illustrations to draw this out about the power of words and how we might use them in our everyday lives. And I hope this is useful. I hope you don't feel that I'm getting at you this morning, if anyone thinks, because I'm not. You've got to love me through this, but I just really want to share my heart, because I want us to upgrade the operation of how we use our mouths. So in saying what I'm going to say, I'm not having a dig at anyone, but we all need to reconsider these things. And this is what this is for. It's not to push us down, it's to lift us up. So one of the things I want to just briefly mention is banter. I was talking to Bruce about this yesterday. And the dictionary defines banter as this: the playful and friendly exchange of teasing words. So far, so good. But teasing, if you go for the definition of teasing, is actually defined of making fun of someone. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says this. And it clearly lays out how believers are to speak to one another. And it says for their strengthening, for their comforting, and for their encouraging. Strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. So any words that pull someone down, they aren't these things. Now, you'll know, if you know me at all, you know I like having fun, I like humour. But those things need to be separated if we're going to not bring death from our mouths. You know, it sounds, I actually challenged a national Christian leader on Instagram when he was doing this whole thing about banter. And I asked him to explain, and he didn't, about banter. And basically, he wanted this like laddish thing in their church, and it's quite a big church up north. And you're thinking, well, so their laddish behaviour was at the expense of those who didn't have a voice. It's just so unkingdom. So anyway, banter. I won't labour that one anymore. But it just helps us consider the power of our tongues, the power of our words. So I don't believe that any talk has such place within the church at all. Words are seeds of intention. I'm a writer also, and I know the power of words, and a number of you know those as well. But words are seeds of intention. They carry the potential in them to bless or curse according to their meaning. And also, I'd say, in the way that we say them. You know how you can say the same word in a different way, and actually people receive it differently. What do you mean by that? I meant nothing. Well, you just said it in that way. So the same word can mean different things according to how we say it. Let's just remind ourselves that the created order once more was birthed by God's spoken words. When God said, "Let there be light," his words were weighted with authority and power for them to become a living reality. There is more to words than simply communicating ideas and thoughts. Words have power to create, which is both exciting and challenging, isn't it? Job 22:28 says this in one of the renderings. It says, "You'll declare or utter a thing, and it will be established for you." The power of words. You'll declare a thing or utter a thing, and it will be established for you. That's powerful truth, isn't it? It really reinforces that scripture about life and death being in the power of the tongue. So, there is a spiritual law in operation which empowers our words to influence natural situations. Now, here's the other thing I really just want to touch on. And I wasn't, originally when I was preparing this, this wasn't really on my radar, what I'm going to say next. But like, you know that thing where the Holy Spirit just drops something into your spirit and you can't shake it and you know you've got to say it, and you want to weave it a different way? I thought, I just got to say it as it is. So once more, you're going to have to love me through this because we're a people of love. And but it's interesting to note that those engaged in witchcraft are well aware of the power of words, albeit for ungodly purposes. You'll see where I'm going in a minute. Essentially, witchcraft spells are a counterfeit version of what God has instituted. And it's really the reason I would say we need to take care not to celebrate these demonic incantations. Satan is well aware of the power of words. Remind ourselves, he was there at the beginning of creation. He saw God speak, or was aware that God spoke those words. He saw the power of words with God. He knows the authority and the power. So Satan is well aware of the power of words. And these spells are often dressed up as harmless fun. And for myself, I recall as a child rehearsing the words of Ali Baba, the tale, who pronounced the famous phrase, "Open Sesame," you might remember it, and a cave opened to reveal a hoard of treasure. This incantation was an example of the power of words, really, albeit used for a wrong motive and employing an ungodly power to bring it to pass. Another one was abracadabra. Okay, that was another childhood one. And it was an incantation we used as children, actually, which was originally employed, I don't know if you knew that, to actually sum up evil spirits for healing. But it just became part of our childhood lexicon, really, and we thought it was harmless. As a child, I will show my age. I was talking to Noah earlier about TV being in black and white, and my life being in black and white probably in the 60s. But I was a fan of the popular TV series, the first incarnation, Bewitched. Some of you might remember the 60s version anyway. And which actually, when you look back, was actually laced, although it was humorous and it was a sitcom, it's actually laced with spells. But given the subtle message that this was actually quite harmless, that's really the impression it gave. And here's my point, really, and for us just to go away and really weigh up with regard to the power of words. Witchcraft, I would say, has become common currency in the entertainment industry. We can't just single out Halloween as our go-to focus of attention if we're going to be truly children of the light. Satan, as I say, knows the power of words. When children or adults repeat these seemingly innocuous witchcraft spells, which is what they are, they've learnt from their fictional heroes. Satan is no respecter of persons in a negative way. God is no respecter of persons in a positive way. But he is looking for a welcome mat, and he will waste no opportunity in bringing anyone who says those things into bondage, and I'm not being heavy here, by ensnaring them with the words they have spoken. Once more, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, but the punchline is this, and those who love it will eat its fruits. In other words, there are consequences. These incantations, these spells, these words empower outcomes, fruits. Can I just leave that there for us to meditate on? We're called to be children of light. Done and dusted. So, how might this spiritual law of words have implications for other areas of our everyday lives? Will it really make that much of a difference? That's a good question, isn't it? Here's the thing. In that we use our mouths on a regular basis, some of us, probably more than others, to speak out our thoughts, our opinions, our assessments, our judgments, our fears, our frustrations. In the light of this knowledge of the power of our words, we would do well to take stock as to what we are seeding our lives with. It's not uncommon for people to say of themselves, here's some examples. I can't do this. I'm no good at that. I'm a failure. Nothing good will come of my life. It's flu season. I'm bound to get flu. I'll never have enough money. I'm unlovable. That's of themselves, or perhaps of other people. Here's some examples of what people might say of other people. You're good for nothing. And here's the next one. I've heard variations of this, of frustrated parents talking about their children. You brats. You brats, speaking of their kids. Or you fool, people say to each other. You're a disappointment. You're a loser. You're a waste of space. That's what people say of other people. So you get my picture. This is everyday parlance. This is how people use their language every day, often without knowing the consequences, the power of their words. Day in, day out, people, and by that I do include Christians as well, speak word curses over themselves and others without any idea of the potency of their words. I'm focusing on the negative. I'm going to go to the positive in a moment. But in the same way as someone might choose to reject the law of gravity and yet still succumb to its effects when they step out of the 10th floor of the building, I think Jane used that illustration a few weeks ago, so a rejection or an ignoring of the spiritual law of words won't nullify the effect of the words. It's a spiritual law that God has instituted, whether we buy into it or not. Whether we metaphorically jump out of that 10th floor window, gravity will still have its effect. Whether you use words for good or ill, being aware of it, they still have power. So we might as well stop using our mouths to release negative words into our lives or those of others, and to begin to consciously take care of what passes over our lips, and more importantly, ensure ourselves that we're in agreement and in alignment of what the Bible says. Actually, that's the best way. If we're not sure what we're saying is correct, do an audit. Check it out, what the Word of God has to say. Let's give an example. We're a church which encourages everyone to operate in the gift of prophecy. It's one reason, shameless plug, we've got the School of the Prophetic on February the 23rd. It's great to have that prophetic word shared today. Can I encourage everybody to really consider, if you haven't already, coming to the School of the Prophetic. It's from about 10 to 4. It's our third one. It's not more of the same, but it will increase your ability to hear from God and your ability also to speak words of life. The world needs to hear and know the love and power of God. The prophetic gift isn't an add-on, it's a normative way of living. So I encourage you, 23rd of February, really to seriously consider being there to personally upgrade or even catalyze, you know, that prophetic gift in your life. If there's any problem with finance, let us know. We'll help you out. We'd love you to be there. Anyway, but supposing you've never used this gift before because you're either not sure God wants you to have it or to speak, or you're actually scared of the thought of it, which I was when I first used it. So, but instead of saying, I can't do it, here's an idea. How about using Philippians 4:30 and saying that famous line, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, your mouth wants to say, I can't do it, but just stop it there and agree with what the Bible says. Because what that will do is that will release an empowering in your life to do the thing, very thing you thought was impossible. That's just a very practical example, but also a shameless way to get a plug in for the School of the Prophetic done. What this does really is to position ourselves to step up to a new level, which in the natural you thought wasn't for you, and it allows God, as I say, to release his enabling and grace to you as well. We actually make a big thing of biblical declarations, speaking out God's word over our lives and situations here at Revival Church. For the reasons that I've already spoken of, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 1:12 that God watches over his word to perform it. But here's the thing, we need to give God something to work with, to pass over our lips. In the same way as I said on the negative, you give Satan something to work with, spells and incantations. How about we give God something to work with? The angels are around us. I don't know why I did that, but just that sort of sign of... They're bigger than us. They are. But our angels are there. They're ministering spirits. They're wanting to engage with our lives. We've got to give the God's supernatural heavenly realm something to work with. Our words are one such thing. Our spoken declarations of biblical truth over our lives and over our situations is really not to be underestimated. We really need to know the potency of them. Jane and I, as probably many of you, have various biblical declarations we speak over ourselves, our family, this church, this town, our nation, say regularly. But if this is new to you, at the end I've got a starter kit, basically, just some declarations from a guy called Steve Backlund, some you may be familiar with. It'll just get you kick-started. They're all biblical things to speak over different areas of your life. That please grab a copy. I've got 20 of them here, or you can get them online if there's no copies left. But grab them if you want to kick-start your declaration life or add to it. But they're just a really great way to speak God's truth. And don't just think it's something you're doing by rote. God wrote the book, so to speak, and he will empower what your agreement and align with that. So honestly, if you want them, grab them at the end. But you can also do a DIY version. You can create biblical declarations of your own. I'm sure many of you do already. To bespoke them, if I can. Can you bespoke? Is it a verb? I don't know. But to make them bespoke for your personal situations. So take a Bible verse. Here's an example. Familiar five verses from Psalm 103. And they're great really for reminding ourselves some key biblical spiritual truths and also positioning ourselves for receiving the benefit of them. So let me first of all just read it. It's only five verses, and then I'll just give you an example of how you might take that those biblical verses and make them personal for your life as a kickstarter. So here's what it says, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good and renews your youth like the eagles. So that's the Bible passage, and here's what it might look like as a biblical declaration you might wish to make over your life. And you can use as much creativity as you want to personalize this. Okay, so for example, I bless you, Lord, and I will remember your benefits. So you're personalizing, it's you and God now, you and God, an engagement, an alignment. God forgives my sins. Maybe say, thank you, God, you forgive my sins. I am righteous and holy in his sight. God heals all my diseases. I receive healing in all my flesh right now. So activation time. God redeems my life from the pit. My eternal destiny with God is 100% guaranteed. You've made a statement on the back of it. I am crowned by God with his steadfast love and mercy. God satisfies me with good. Because of these truths, God is bringing continual renewal to my whole being. Now, you can just take your time over that. Just work with the Holy Spirit. Just marinate in those words. But actually, what you're doing is you're not only aligning your thinking to God, but you're allowing God to minister that truth as a reality. It will change you, but it will change the situation you speak over. This is a whole exciting subject. I'm going to bring it to a close now. This spiritual law is one which is really powerful, and if we activate it, it will change our lives, but also change other situations. But we just have to be mindful that that we only let one stream go over our tongue, and that's the stream of God's life which agrees with the Word of God. You know, do an audit. Let's do it all. Do a clearer. And I do that regularly. What am I saying? The question is, what am I saying over these lips that does not agree with the heart of heaven? You know, and I just, you know, zip the lip. You know, put a guard over my mouth, the scripture says, that I will not sin against you. And not discharge stuff that destroys, pulls down, disagrees with the Word of God. But on the plus side, you know, let's be a people who know the authority and power we have in Christ, but the authority and power of our words. I hope that's encouraging and helpful. I hope no one feels got at. If you do, I'll pray for you if you'd like, or forgive me either way. But can I pray for us anyway? I want to establish this now anyway in our lives. So let's bow our heads and let's just pray. Because I want to pray some things about this as well. So, firstly, Heavenly Father, I personally, we want to ask you to forgive us for in any way we've allowed over our mouths, over our lips, out of our mouths, over our lips, words to pass over them that are spoken over our own lives, our situations, over the lives of other people and other people's situations that have disagreed with your word but have also brought death and destruction, and in any way also partnered with Satan. Father, we repent for in any way, wittingly or unwittingly, we have not been children of the light. Father, your word says come out, and we choose now to come out of in any way living like that. We ask for your grace and help, Holy Spirit, to live a life where it's normal just to speak words of life. And I want to pray that you'd help us to really upgrade individually in this, in our daily lives. I pray that maybe you just give some examples of situations where we have got in a rut of speaking negatively, or maybe just haven't spoken positively. And I pray you'd show us scripture that we can tailor make to speak over that situation. And I want to thank you that the expectation is there's going to be hope and change as a result of that. I want to pray, Father, at this time in this nation, that you put a guard over our lips that we would not sin against you regarding really the shaking that's happening in this nation. Give us, Lord, a vocabulary from heaven to release in our prayers, in our statements over this nation and the nations at this time. Once more, Lord God, when we pray your kingdom come, we're going to be articulating that with our declarations as well. So we make these choices. We ask once more for your grace and empowering. And we ask it for the glory of God, as I say, that we can be children of light. In Jesus' name, amen.